Tampa Provo, Wednesday, January 20th, Mr. Wilbur Carr speaking.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock, saith the Lord. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Although he has been hard at work on our campus since September 14, 1964, Mr. Wilbur Todd, our business manager, has never been presented formally to you in chapel. Mr. Todd has a rare combination of personal and professional qualifications for his task. He is a graduate of Wake Forest College. He earned the BD degree here at Southeastern Baptist Seminary. And subsequently, he earned a degree in business administration at the University of North Carolina. He came to us from the Baptist Sunday School Board at Nashville, Tennessee, where he was held in very high regard. As business manager of this seminary, he has manifested and will continue to manifest a deep interest in the true well-being of every member of the faculty, every member of the student body, every member of the seminary staff. He works with almost inexhaustible energy, with a high level of judgment, and with deep dedication. We are very happy to have him lead our worship today.
Our responsive reading is selection number 97. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with a temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we are grateful to Thee for these moments of worship and meditation together. And as we bow before Thee, our Creator, our Redeemer, the One who is the sustainer of our lives, we pray that it might be with true hearts of praise, of gratitude unto Thee, our Father, because Thou art our God and our Lord. In these moments, our Father, we pray that Thou would come and look into each of our hearts. Grant unto us that particular spiritual grace which we would need for our lives to accomplish Thy plan and purpose for us. In these moments, make us grateful also, our Father, for all the blessings that you bestow upon our lives, blessings too numerous for us to count, and yet we would know and recognize that they come because of thy eternal grace and mercy. In these moments we confess unto thee our sins. We pray for thy forgiveness and for thy cleansing power in our lives. We pray, our Father, in these moments for this institution. We pray that thou will bless each one who has a place of leadership and responsibility, administratively or with the faculty. We pray for those who come here, the students, to prepare themselves for thy service. We pray for those who have gone out from this school, our Heavenly Father, to places of service around the world, that thou will be with them and bless them as they endeavor to serve thee. We pray that thou will give us proper motives for our service to thee, that thou will give us strength for our task, and that in all things we might seek to glorify thy holy name. For we pray in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Let me say at this point that I appreciate the very kind and generous words, Dr. Binkley. I'm indeed happy to be here. My family and I are happy to be back in Wake Forest. And I count it an opportunity and privilege to work together here at Southeastern with all of you as we endeavor to carry out the purpose of this seminary. least I stand ready to be of any help that I can to any of you in the particular work and responsibility which is mine. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18, and one verse from the 14th chapter of Mark. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then Mark 14, verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The months and years which students spend here at Southeastern could perhaps best be characterized or described as a time of preparation. The central purpose of this institution is to help men and women prepare themselves for Christian service in our world. This preparation has many different aspects and includes preparation in many different ways, that you might go forth from this school better equipped for serving Jesus Christ. There are many types of continuing preparation which are necessary for each of us all through life. In our own particular vocation, profession, or ministry, there is ever the demand that we study and search out and keep abreast if we are going to be competent in our field. And likewise, for each of us, there is the need for constant spiritual preparation against the temptations which we would face. As we turn to the New Testament, we find that the disciples themselves did not always pass this test of spiritual preparedness. Perhaps the stiffest test came near the end of Christ's ministry. Jesus is with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before his crucifixion. The Master knows what lies ahead, and he knows the severeness of the trial and testing which will come to him and his disciples within the next few hours. The testing will put tremendous strain on their courage and devotion, and they should be making preparation for it. The gospel writers tell us that Jesus himself spent the time in prayer to the Heavenly Father. And the three disciples who composed what is called the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, were urged to do likewise. Jesus knew that amid the dreadful events that would transpire within the next few hours, the disciples would face perhaps the most severe temptation of their lives, the temptation to lose courage and desert him whom they call their master in this his hour of danger. What were the words of Jesus to them? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. We are familiar with what took place. The disciples did not take the advice of Jesus very seriously. These were men with human frailties as we. And since they were tired and sleepy, and perhaps not especially inclined for prayer, they kept falling asleep. And then in the semi-darkness, a great multitude from the chief priests and elders came with swords and staves to arrest Jesus and carry him off to trial. We know how Jesus behaved in this hour. He was prepared in spirit for this testing. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had spent time communing with the Heavenly Father. And we could think back even beyond this to the times that Jesus had gone aside for prayer, gone aside alone to be in communion with God. And now he was calm and strong. And resting in the Father's will, he was ready for whatever might come. He faced the cruelty of those last hours with faith and hope and love as God's Son. We look again to the disciples. It is very evident they were not ready for the test. And when the danger came, they lost their heads and they lost their courage. Somehow during that night, they never rose to the occasion, but fell to temptation. The disciples deserted him whom they had called their master. A short while later, Simon Peter, who had vowed that he would stick by Jesus regardless of what came, denied his master three times. And then Peter came to himself and realized what he had done. With deep remorse, he wept. Perhaps in those moments, this one who had been so keen and so loyal reflected back across the months and years with the Master. He had made statements of courage and of faithfulness, but now had played the coward. When the real testing came, he had been overcome by the temptation to play for safety for himself and let his Master stand alone. And how had all of this come about? Wasn't it because he had not been spiritually ready? The events of those hours call for something more than a selfish or a worldly frame of mind. That he had not taken time to prepare himself spiritually was realized after it was too late. The words of Jesus, spoken in the garden only a few hours before, now came clear to him. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. If only he had followed Jesus' advice and had watched and prayed, there would have been strength to face the temptations of that night. There would have been power and a strengthened faith if he had placed his soul in the presence of God. But he hadn't watched and prayed, and he found himself unprepared for the challenge of those hours. Yet we need not stand in judgment on Peter and the other disciples. The same thing happens to us in small matters and maybe sometimes in large matters. All of us, no doubt, have had the experience of being overtaken by a temptation and yielding to it before we were aware that it was a temptation. We were caught napping spiritually. These temptations may be somewhat different for each individual. It may be someone says something that touches our pride, and so we lose our temper and we say something foolish and something that is unworthy of a Christian. Or perhaps we find ourselves with a choice to make between serving our own interest and doing the generous or Christian thing out of consideration for others. Almost before we know what has happened, we have made the selfish choice. Or it may be we are overtaken by a subtle temptation. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, are the pride of life. It could be moral cowardice. It's when we find ourselves with individuals or in a group where things are being said that we as Christians ought to speak out against. But somehow we don't seem to have the courage, and so we say nothing. In that negative way, at least, we deny our Lord. We who find ourselves connected with a theological seminary, that is, as a student or as an employee of the school, wherein the classification of full-time Christian service or church-related vocations is generally applied, need not deceive ourselves or be deceived that we somehow are exempt from these and other temptations. If anything, the very opposite would be true. Are not those who are endeavoring to follow and live close to Christ and to follow his will the ones who would have the greater temptation? Was not the temptation which our Master faced greatest of all? What is the answer to our need of overcoming and being victorious in the hour of temptation? With the Apostle Peter, the battle was lost because of unpreparedness. Jesus had said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." But somehow he had not heeded this word of the Master. As we have faced temptations and yielded to them, we weren't ready, most probably, because we have been slack about the life of prayer. Perhaps the day was begun without really seeking the presence of God, that we might walk all day with a consciousness of his presence. What place then should prayer have in the life of every Christian? Many people think of prayer as an occasional thing to be engaged in when we make application to God for something which we want. But we ought to think of prayer as a constant and regular thing without which we cannot truly live. It is an experience in the presence of God which is necessary for spiritual strength and for spiritual growth. We are prone to wait until the temptation is upon us and then send up a cry to God for help. Often there is no time for that. It may be too late when temptation comes suddenly and takes us by surprise. The holy war we have to fight is one which calls for our being ready at all times. And unless we are always ready, we shall be taken unawares. The Apostle Paul expresses it this way: "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the world rulers of darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness." And he goes on to speak of what this armor is: the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul does not mean that we should snatch up the armor and put it on when we see the enemy approaching. He says we should stand in that armor constantly so that we can never be taken by surprise. How does one get and put on that spiritual armor? Paul leaves no doubt about this. In the next verse, he goes on to say that the way to do this is to watch and pray constantly and regularly, not only for ourselves, but for one another. This means for us diligent study of God's Word, meditation in His presence, and communion with Him through prayer. How difficult it is to find time, even a little time, for such devotion in this busy world. And with our overcrowded schedules, there are demands that are made upon each of us, which makes it difficult for us to find this time for studying God's Word and for meditation and for prayer. But such is worth the trouble, and we will go forth into the world each day clad with the armor of God. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Our Father, help us to be spiritually prepared for the temptations that come before us. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, and as we wait before thee, strengthen and empower us for greater service to thee. In the name of Christ, we pray.